The assignment given me this year has sort of slapped me on both sides of the face and said, you need to wake up. Because many times we get so busy with being busy that we forget what the business is. And that's happened to me many, many times, hadn't it, Trey? That we just get so frenzied in doing all these good things and even better things that we ignore the best thing. And, of course, the best thing is Jesus. And what is eternal life? What's that dependent upon? John 17, Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they know you, the only true God, and him whom you did send, even Jesus Christ. So eternal life is not what I do, it's who I know. I know God. And the word know there means to be intimate with. I'm intimate with God, and I'm intimate with Jesus, and I have eternal life then. Because I'll do anything that the one I'm intimate with asks me to do, right? Anything I know that will please him, I'll do my dead level best to do. But as I thought about this morning's lesson, depending as Jesus depended, I remember growing up, I think I was taught this, if not I learned it. And you know, a lot of times you can hear something and you learn something that the speaker didn't intend to say. But I learned growing up that Jesus didn't need to depend on anybody. That he could do it all by himself. But you see, he emptied himself of that, didn't he? Philippians chapter 2 says, he emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a bondservant, a slave. Because you see, he needed to learn obedience. The writer of Hebrews says that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He needed to learn to lean. He needed to learn to depend. So as I looked at, I remember the first time I saw Philippians 2 and Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 4, some of those other passages that teach the dependence of Jesus. I remember how shocked I was and how that sounded like blasphemy. To say that Jesus really needed to rely on somebody. Or that Jesus needed. Those words didn't seem to go together to me. That Jesus needed. He needed something. And he didn't as long as he was the eternal Word, right? But when he became flesh, he became flesh. He just didn't put it on like I put this coat on this morning. By the way, I started to put on a coat that matched these pants, but the cleaners had knocked off the button. So y'all had to put up with these all week. This one was all week long, because this is all I got now. Just, matter of fact, I might even wear a coat tomorrow. Most of y'all aren't. Would y'all withdraw from me if I didn't wear a coat? True, it would. So I'd better wear one. But I remember being shocked at the fact that Jesus became flesh and didn't just put on flesh. He put on flesh in days gone by. Remember Abraham talking to Jehovah? And those are called in theology, theophanies. You know, that's God in a human body. Jesus didn't become God in a human body. Boy, that nearly would get me withdrawn from, wouldn't it? He didn't become God in a human body. He became man. Now, he still was God, but he became man. And when he became man, some of the prerogatives of deity were no longer available to him. When he became man and put on a body, he cannot be omnipresent. When he became man, he cannot be omniscient. He didn't even know the day, the year the city of Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. Isn't that interesting? That's Matthew 24, if you want to go look at that. Or if your theology says the end of time, that's all right too. Because it says there's something he didn't know. He was not omnipotent. He got hungry and tired and died. He was a man. And as any man depends, he depended. I bet he depended better than anybody else ever depended. Since he is Christ, since he is God, in the flesh, since he is the God-man, the man-God, whatever you want to say, I bet his dependence is the dependence that I need. If I'm going to depend, I need to depend as he depended. Now, in the next 4 or 5 hours, I'll be as brief as possible in talking about this. Now, you know we could do that, don't you? But we're going to have 4 points, and we're going to say them quickly, so you're going to have to listen quickly. And if you can't listen that quick, they sell the tape. You can go get the tape and rewind and all that. If you got one of those multiple speed deals, you can slow it down to where I say, and my next point is... You can slow it down as slow as you want to. We got a lot we need to say today. Number one, there are four numbers here. So watch the numbers, and you know how I'm doing on the time. Number one, Jesus depended on His Father. If you look at the book of John, just read through the book of John. That's what I did. Just read through the book of John, and you'll see that Jesus depended upon the Father for what He willed. For what He, Jesus, desired, He said, I've come not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. He depended upon God for how He thought, how He willed, what His desires were. Then if you read on to John chapter, that was 638, by the way. I forgot to tell you where that was. Then if you turn back to John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus says, I can do nothing of myself. He said the same thing in chapter 8. I of myself do nothing. As the Father gives me something to do, I do it. He depended upon His Father for what He did. Not only what He willed, but all of what He did. He didn't make the decision what to do. The Father did. He didn't even make the decision to will that. Only decision He made was, I'm going to be subject to my Father. And having made that decision to be subject to His Father, then He became dependent upon His Father for all that He willed and all that He did. And then all that He taught also. In John chapter 8, He says, my teaching is not mine, but His that sent me. He said the same thing in John 7, verse 16. He said the same thing in John 14, verse 10. And in John 14, 24, He makes that kind of a statement more than any other dependent statement. I am dependent upon the Father for what I say. For what I teach. James has something to say about the tongue, doesn't he? If I can control this tongue, I can what? Control the whole body. This is the rudder that turns the whole ship around, James says. So Jesus had to always be correct, loving, kind, direct, and true in all that He's saying. How'd He do that? Well, He just didn't say what He wanted to say. He said what the Father wanted Him to say. Have you ever made the statement, well, I got something I want to say about that. I need to repent of that, don't I? And say, now what does the Father say about that? That's a much better question, isn't it? He depended upon the Father for how He judged. John 5, verse 30. He says, my judgment's not mine, but His that sent me. Now those of you that know me know I normally have a judgment about whatever we're talking about. It'd be better not to do that, Richard. It'd be better not to judge. You see why I say this, slapping on both sides of the face? It'd be better for me to ask the question, what does the Father judge? What would I judge? Were I the Father? Or if the Father was me, what would He judge? Jesus depended upon the Father for His power to die. In John 10, verse 18, He said, nobody takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This power I receive from my Father. Isn't that tremendous? To have the power to die? To come to death with the calm assurance that you're just wrapping eternity around you? That to die is gain? That it's better by far? Jesus depended upon His Father for the power to die. Then He depended upon His Father for the power to give life. Not just to live, but to give life. You remember that great prayer in John 17? That's the Lord's Prayer. The one in Matthew 6 is ours. That's the disciples' prayer. But this is the Lord's Prayer. Hey, brother. And in John chapter 17, Jesus says, what You've given me, I've given them. You gave me them, I've kept them. Now I want them to have life eternal. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came that we might have life and life more abundantly. I mean, this is Jesus' ability from the Father. Not by His own, not by the power of His own deity. But this was what the Father gave him to do. And he depended. He relied upon the Father. I'm so grateful the Father was there, because Jesus couldn't have done what he did without him being there. That's what Jesus said. He said, I can of myself do nothing. You identify with that? I identify with that. I can of myself do nothing. But if I've got Jesus, what can I do? All things. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Do I need to learn to depend as Jesus depended? If I do, I will depend upon the Father. That's number one. Number two, he not only depended upon the Father, he depended upon the Holy Spirit of his Father. Now, there's a lot of passages that we're going to talk about there, and we'll talk about them tomorrow in our lesson, and particularly Wednesday in our lesson. But Jesus needed the Holy Spirit for the mission he accomplished. He wouldn't have known what to do except by the Spirit. That's what he said in a synagogue in Nazareth. You remember that? Just been tempted, comes back to Galilee, and everybody listens to him in the synagogues, and he comes back home, and all of a sudden this carpenter's kid is now looked upon as a rabbi. So they ask him to read the Scripture and teach, and he reads the book of Isaiah chapter 61, a verse and a half, and that's very unusual. Normally they'd read four or five chapters, but you could read two or three times a lifetime. And he sat down. By the way, that tells us preachers something, doesn't it? Sermon does not have to be eternal, be immortal. Jesus says, or reads Isaiah, "The Spirit of God hath anointed me." He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are imprisoned, and to relieve those that are bruised and battered, and to say, "Jubilee!" and to proclaim that this is the good and acceptable year of God. How'd Jesus know that? The Holy Spirit anointed him. And you see, that's another one of those things that sounds a little nearly blasphemous, doesn't it, to say that Jesus didn't know that till the Spirit told him? But that's what I got Jesus saying in Luke chapter 4, so it's bound to be true since he said it. He said, I know my mission because of the Holy Spirit. Did you know the Holy Spirit has gifted you? I don't know what your gifts are. You never will have to know what your gifts are either. When you're doing something and you like it and it works for the good of other people, that's your gift. I mean, you'll just try something, people say, "Ooh, that's not it." But if you're doing something, people say, "Yeah, just a little bit to the right, scratch just a little bit down, and it body grows," that's your gift. The Holy Spirit gifted Jesus. And Jesus depended upon the Holy Spirit for the mission. But he also depended upon the Spirit for the power to accomplish the mission. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus is in an argument with the Pharisees. And normally that's all you can do, Pharisees, isn't it? Argue with them. But I mean, Jesus was in an argument with the Pharisees. And Jesus said, in answer to their question, he does that by the power of Beelzebub. He said, if I by the prince of demons cast out demons, his house can't stand, can it? But if by the Spirit of God I cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. But what power did Jesus perform miracles? By his power to depend. By his power to rely. By his power to lean on the Spirit of God. You know, ordinary people like you and I can do some very extraordinary things if we just learn to lean. If we just learn to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, if we just quit depending on what we know and what we've learned and what we think we've got the ability to do, and depend on Him, He'll direct our steps and power our lives in success. I know that's not a good thing, but I want to make a point. Success our lives. He'll make our lives successful. The mission to accomplish, the power to do the mission. He depended upon the Spirit to finish the revelation to the apostles. You know, a lot of times we preachers think we've got to tell everybody everything about something. Jesus didn't tell them everything about anything. That's what he said in John 16, verse 12. He said, "I've got a lot of things to tell you, fellas, but you're not able to receive them yet. When the Spirit has come, He will guide you into all truth." Here's something that sounds blasphemous. Jesus didn't tell them all of the truth. Everything he told them was true. He told them truth. But he didn't tell them all of the truth. He depended upon the Spirit to do that. I wonder today if I can depend upon the Spirit-filled body to finish what I start. Hello? I really believe we can. I think we need to learn to depend not only on God the Father, but on God the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on Him. For if we're led by the Spirit, then we're children of God. Now, that sounds real good, doesn't it? How about the negative of that? If we're not led by the Spirit, we're not children of God. Wouldn't that be true? So we need to learn to depend as Jesus depended. Number one, he depended on the Father. Number two, he depended upon the Spirit. Number three, you need to hurry, Richard. Number three, he depended upon the Word of the Father. He not depended upon the Father and the Spirit of the Father, but he depended upon the Word of the Father. Number one, he depended upon the Word of the Father to overcome temptation. When the devil tempted him, he didn't say, "Get out of here, I'm a better man than that." Now that's the way we preach it sometimes, isn't it? Get out, tell the devil, "Get out of here, I don't do that, I'm a child of God." That's not what Jesus did. It is written. It is written again. Get out of here because it is written. Now, if the incarnate Word could only overcome temptation by the written Word, how are we going to do it? "Thy Word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee." There it is, isn't it? How shall a young man secure his ways? By taking heed thereto. If you read the context, thereto is to the Word. To the Word, to the law, and to the testimony, Isaiah said in the midst of difficulty. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you rejected me, I rejected you from being preached to me." Hosea 4, verse 6. A friend of mine was getting ready to preach on that text at a supporting congregation that supported him in the mission field. And he said, my lesson today is from Hosea 4, verse 6. I'm sure that's a familiar text to anybody that's here. Probably you can quote it. Genesis, Exodus, Hosea. And then he read it. "My people are destroyed." And then when he got there, he said, "Anybody beat me? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." If I'm going to learn to depend upon as Jesus depended, I'm going to have to lay the Word of God up in my heart, not just on my shelf. Not just on my coffee table. It's going to have to be laid up in my heart. Brothers, sisters, that says number one, study it. It says number two, learn it. It says number three, meditate it. And here's a word we don't like, it memorize it. We've got to lay it up in our heart so that it's there for us to quote when the devil brings a temptation. There is no temptation the Word of God does not handle. My problem is I don't handle the Word of God enough. Jesus depended upon the Word of God to overcome temptation. But he also depended upon the Word of God to establish his identity. He said in John chapter 5, I don't remember the verse, I've got it written down here, let me look down my notes. Verse 45 and 47. He said in John chapter 5, "If you'd have believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." See, he identified himself by the Word of God. You know, I do the same thing. You want to know who I am? I'm a son of God. Now, prove that. Many of you have been baptized into Christ, been baptized into his death. We're children of God by the verse preceding that says by faith, having been baptized. Are you baptized? Then you're son or daughter of God. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. You know, some of these children's songs we need to sing as old, old men. How do we know? The Bible tells us so. I've got a 4-year-old grandchild that sings that song. And he's got a 60-year-old granddad that sometimes forgets to sing that song. So maybe I need to be converted and become his little child. So that I will understand that my identity is based upon what my Father says about me. And not by what you say about me. Or I say about me. Am I getting the point coming across in here? On it, we need to learn to depend as Jesus depended. He depended also upon the Word of God to be the final judge. See, I don't judge anybody. The words that I've spoke. These will judge people at the last day. Oh, I wish I'd quit being a judge. Do you wish you'd quit being a judge? I mean, so oftentimes I'll say, well, I'll tell you about that. That's spelled P-F-F-F-F-F-T for the tape. I judge so often. I need to learn to depend upon the Word to judge. If I think a thing is wrong, if I don't have a text, how do I know it's wrong? If I've got a text, all I've got to do is point right out. There it is. Read that. A fellow told me the other day that he believed that all these people had been led, as he said, led to Christ by all these different denominational people through the years were really Christians. I said, I'm not going to be a judge. All I'm going to tell you is, here's what the Word of God said. If they did it, then they've got the Word of God that they were saved. If they didn't do it, they'd better hope God didn't mean what He said. We need to learn to depend upon the Word of God to be the judge. Number four, and I'm doing all right. Number four, we need to depend upon the people. Jesus depended upon the people of His Father. He didn't just depend upon His Father and the Spirit of His Father and the Word of His Father, but He depended upon the people of His Father. He wasn't a lone ranger. You know, a lot of our evangelism, a lot of our preaching is lone ranger evangelism. One-on-one, I'll get it done. Like, go down to the OK Corral and kill. What are those people they killed down to OK Corral? I can't remember. Clintons. You go down to OK Corral and kill all those Clintons. And I'll do it by myself. I have to. If you want to go with me, come along. But I'm going to get the job done. Now, that's the American way, isn't it? That's not God's way. That's not Jesus' way. Jesus depended upon the people. His people. The people of God. He depended upon them to pay the full price. He said, you want to come along with me and be dependent upon me? Then give me an unrighteous... This is Luke 14. I figure everybody knew it. Luke 14, 25 to 35. You come give me an unrivaled love. You come give me an unceasing dying. You come give me an unafraid accounting. You come give me an unqualified renunciation of all that you are and all that you have. Then you can be my disciples. And who are disciples? They're dependent people. Not codependent. They are dependent people. A disciple is dependent upon his master. Upon his Lord. And Jesus depended upon his people to depend upon him. Isn't that great? Isn't it great to know He trusts us? I like to be trusted. You like to be trusted? I don't even have to be trustworthy to be trusted, because God's always trusted the untrustworthy. All I've got to be is committed, sold out, given up. And then I can depend, God can depend on me. Wilkin Bacon, who I always call Chief Bacon because he was an Indian, was staying at a hotel in Cardell, Oklahoma. And he'd been a big singer with Stamps Baxters, and he decided that since they played the guitar, that was not right. And so in his hotel room that night, he wrote the song, Can He Depend on You? Now, it's one of the golden oldies, so those of you that are younger don't know that one, but that's one of the golden oldies. Maybe we need to resurrect. Can He depend on you? Can He depend on me to pay the full price? Number two, He depends upon the people of God to follow wherever He leads. No, everybody knows the Great Commission, right? Going to all the world, preach the gospel, whole world, every creature. You know the Greater Commission? Feed my sheep. You know the greatest commission and the hardest one to do? Follow me. He just told Peter, Peter, they're going to take you when you get old where you don't want to go and do with you what you don't want to do. And he turns to John and he said, how about that guy? Jesus said, none of your business. Now that's Rogers Revised, but that's what he said. None of your business. Follow me. See, Jesus depends on me to follow him wherever he leads. So I need to know that He depends upon the Father, and He depends upon the Spirit, and He depends upon the Word in order to follow Him by depending upon the Father, depending upon the Spirit, depending upon the Word. He says, you follow me. He depends on you to do that. He depends on me to do that. Number three, not only to pay the full price and follow where He goes, but to go where He sends. That's John chapter 20. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit. As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." How did the Father send Him? To will the Father's will, do the Father's doing, teach the Father's sayings, judge the Father's judgment, die the Father's death, and give the Father's life. To be absolutely, totally under authority. Jesus had no authority, claimed none until He was raised from the dead. Claimed absolutely no authority. On the other hand, said, "I don't have any authority." He said, "That's why I was sent, without authority, without an agenda, without a self-driven program, and that's how I'm sending you." Where? Every nation, all the world, all of creation. I must be sent as He was sent. I must be sent where He was sent. And He trusts me. He depends upon me. He relies upon me to do that. So He depends on me to pay the full price, follow where He goes, and go follow where He leads, and go where He sends. And then He trusts me to teach others to do the same. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teaching them all that I have commanded you. Right? Wrong. Again, I don't think I was taught that, but I learned that growing up. It says, teaching them to do. Teaching them to observe. He's talking about action, not doctrine. He says, teaching them to do all that I have commanded you. Now, am I to teach them doctrine? Sure. That's what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:2. The things you've last heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Who will be able to teach others also, 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 be able to teach others also. It's not a broken record or a stuck record. That's God's plan. That's what God depends on you to do. That's what He depends on me to do. To take the little bit I know and to give it to somebody else. You know, a beautiful thing about doing that is you get more when you give some of it away. Now, some of you too young to remember Little Abner, but some of you are old enough to remember Al Cap Strip Little Abner. He was a humanist, Al Cap was. But he had this little animal called a smew. Anybody remember the smew? Looked like a gumdrop in a way. He was big down the middle, big down at the bottom, came up to a little deal, had two eyes and a mouth. I don't think it had ears. If you looked at that smew and thought about a fur coat, it fell over dead and there was a fur coat. But two were there now instead of one. If you thought about a roast beef, fell over his roast beef, but two were there instead of one. And one of the principles of God, you grow by dying. You multiply by dying. If you sow a seed in the ground, it doesn't bring forth any fruit unless it dies. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. I mean, that's exactly the law of God. And Jesus depends on you. Now, if I'm going to learn to depend as Jesus depended, what I'm going to do? I'm going to depend on you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rely upon you. I'm going to say, I want to see you next year, and I know this will have happened. Or great things will have happened. And we get together, and what I dreamed was nothing compared to what you're telling me. Because the text is still there. Now, in Him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. And Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. I'm standing in Christ Jesus. But look at that one. In the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. I'm sorry if you're critical around me of the church. I may jump on you. Because you're critical of Jesus. And you're critical of the power of Jesus. Now, if you want to talk about the problems of one little local congregation, I'll be sympathetic and nod my head and know that where I am has many more than that anyway. But the church of Jesus Christ is without spot and blemish.
It is the glory of God. And I think that God depends on it, don't you? God depends on His people, last of all. That's normally a good word in a sermon, isn't it? He depends upon the people to pay the price, follow, teach, and finally, to finish. To complete the work He only began. Think about that in a minute, and then we'll get a scripture to see I'm right. I mean, if I'm right, that's some kind of dependence, isn't it? You know, Jesus didn't finish the job. I know He said it is finished, and that is the purpose of God, and the bruising of the devil's head. But Paul said in Colossians 1, verse 24, if you hadn't heard anything else, please hear this scripture. In Colossians 1, verse 24, Paul says, I fill up on my part that which is lacking. That which is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for His body's sake, which is the church. Jesus depends on you to finish the job. He depends on me to finish the job. Without us, He died for nothing. His work is incomplete, ineffective, and inadequate without us. Isn't that what that verse says? I fill up on my part that which is lacking, that which is incomplete, that which is not finished in His sufferings for His body's sake, which is the church. We fulfill His mission. We complete His work. We fulfill His death. For I have been crucified with Christ. Crucifixion is not for discipline, it's for dying. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. For to me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the very image of God, count not that the thing to be held on to tenaciously, but emptied Himself and took upon Himself the form of a servant, being found in human likeness. He what? He depended. Let's depend as He depends. Thank you very much.